is easy to digest, is full of essential amino acids for repairing your body tissue, and contains bioactive milk peptides, BMPs. BMPs are one of the most promising new supplements for improving sleep and reducing stress. They are actually derived from whey protein, but they are a lot more expensive after processing, so you might as well eat them from the source. These proteins are most effective in their undenatured form. Heating and pressurizing them reduces their effects, which is why I always prefer to get BMPs from cold-processed whey protein concentrate rather than in pill form. The other benefit of this form of whey protein is that it raises your liver's glutathione levels. Glutathione helps your liver remove toxins that interfere with sleep. If it works for you, try taking 1 to 2 tablespoons of super high-quality, grass-fed, low-temperature processed whey at night in your no-coffee vanilla latte. Try raw honey. This is a powerful sleep hack that you should try on its own, not in combination with the protein supplements listed above. Your brain uses a lot of energy while you're sleeping. One efficient form of brain energy comes from the sugar that is stored in your liver, called liver glycogen. Your brain taps your liver glycogen before hitting the stored sugar in your muscles, muscle glycogen. So having a little carbohydrate before bed can help your brain function better at night. Raw honey is used preferentially to the stock of liver glycogen, so it is used first for brain function. Raw honey is 22% better at making liver glycogen than the processed conventional stuff you're likely to find at most grocery stores that has the pollen filtered out. Taking a small amount of honey by itself before bed will raise blood glucose while you sleep, putting you in a deeper sleep faster. As I mentioned earlier, the late Seth Roberts discussed this sleep hack with me as he was developing his self-experiments on the effect of carefully timed carbohydrates before sleep. He also found, as I did, that honey improved his sleep, but he found it also improved his strength and resilience, too. He used himself as a guinea pig to gather excruciating levels of data, validating that it worked for him. And Nathaniel Altman's book, The Honey Prescription, also reveals these strengthening powers of honey. This trick really can help you get more deep sleep, especially when you're doing bulletproof intermittent fasting. At first, I assumed the honey would throw me out of fat-burning mode, but as long as I took MCT oil with the honey, I produced enough ketones to stay in mild fat-burning mode. The shortest length MCT, C8, does produce ketones, even in the presence of carbohydrates, so you can stay in a mild state of ketosis while benefiting from this sleep hack. Supplement your sleep. For some people, using the food hacks above is enough to supercharge their sleep, but some will need even more help from supplements. These are some of the best ones for taking your sleep to the next level so you can feel great and thrive on fewer hours a night of higher quality sleep. I take most of these on most nights and track how effective they are by using a sleep tracking app on my phone. Always check your supplements to verify they are compatible with medications you may be taking. Note, I'm specifically avoiding many herbs because the common ones recommended for sleep, like valerian root, have always left me feeling groggy in the morning. Who wants to go to sleep fast, only to then waste the entire morning in a fog? Magnesium. Almost everyone is short on magnesium, and you should be taking it anyway if you want to live a long life. I'll talk about this more in Chapter 7. Try taking 600 to 800 milligrams a day, but be careful because too much magnesium can give you disaster pants, which doesn't help you sleep. The best forms are the eights, including malate, citrate, aspartate, and others. Since it is relaxing, most people benefit from taking magnesium in the evening. Potassium. This is synergistic with magnesium, and for most people with nighttime leg cramps, the combination will help. My preferred forms are citrate and potassium bicarbonate, which is harder to find. Potassium keeps the heart beating rhythmically, so too much potassium can alter your heartbeat. Do not mega dose. I take 400 milligrams of potassium citrate at bedtime. Start with 100 to 200 milligrams and work your way up from there if you feel you need more. L-theanine. This is an amino acid found in green tea that is known to reduce stress. Its chemical structure resembles glutamic acid, which interferes with the function of glutamate. As you read earlier, glutamate is an excitatory neurotransmitter, and L-theanine reduces that excitatory effect and causes relaxation. I use 100 milligrams of sun-theanine, a specific form of L-theanine, at night. GABA. This is an inhibitory neurotransmitter, what your brain uses to shut itself down. It will dramatically calm you when taken without any protein, so don't combine this one with the protein supplement recommendations above. Start with 500 milligrams. I used to swear by this, but I don't need it to go to sleep anymore now that I hacked my brain at 40 years of Zen. Yet, there is evidence that 2,500 milligrams of GABA before bed will raise human growth hormone moderately, so I take that much most nights for anti-aging purposes. While it's best for most of us to take GABA at night to induce sleep, I've also recommended it to stressed-out executives for use during the day when they were really tweaking, and it calmed them down considerably. Phenyl-GABA, Phenibut. Phenibut is a supplement that is a derivative of GABA, but much stronger. It was discovered in Russia and is considered a nootropic, substance that helps your brain work better, because it can help with focus and then help to cause profound sleep. Unfortunately, Phenibut does not absorb well past the gut and blood-brain barriers, although it does so more easily when it is packaged in a molecule that crosses through membranes, such as a liposomal delivery system. Look for liposomes on the label. As an added reason to consider it when you really want good sleep, Russian researchers found that Phenibut protected against the psychological side effects of chronic stress in mice. This is a very powerful sleep hack, one of my favorites, but keep your dose to less than 600 milligrams, and don't use it every day or it will stop working. There are reports of people abusing it by taking high doses for long periods of time and becoming dependent on it. This is a very powerful sleep hack, but it doesn't mix with alcohol or some other medications. Ornithine. This relaxing amino acid helps your body eliminate ammonia in the gut, as excess ammonia causes feelings of stress. Ammonia is a cellular toxin, and eliminating it can improve your long and short-term memories. Some people sleep much better with ornithine, and it may improve human growth hormone levels too. I take a mixture of arginine and ornithine at night for growth hormone release. Since digesting protein produces ammonia in the gut, ornithine may be particularly helpful if you're eating toward the higher recommended protein amounts on the Bulletproof diet. Try taking from 500 to 1,000 milligrams at bedtime. L-tryptophan. In the late 1980s, one of the top manufacturers of L-tryptophan made a manufacturing error that possibly contaminated the supplement and linked L-tryptophan to a rare neurological condition called eosinophilia myalgia syndrome. Mass hysteria resulted, even though properly produced L-tryptophan caused no issues, and all L-tryptophan was taken off the market. It's again available over the counter, and I recommend this powerful stuff, especially when it's taken with GABA. However, excessive amounts of L-tryptophan from food or supplements can be inflammatory, so don't overdo this one. Start with 500 milligrams a night. Many people associate L-tryptophan with Thanksgiving dinner, and while there may be a little bit of it in your turkey, eating it along with the amino acids and the protein make it unlikely that you'll feel an effect. Melatonin. This is a potent hormone and antioxidant that your body is supposed to produce on its own if you get real darkness and enough sleep. Since you probably get neither, there is an open debate around whether you should supplement every day and risk further depressing your natural melatonin production, or just do it occasionally. Your body naturally regulates its production of hormones based on how much of those hormones are present in the body. So if you supplement with melatonin, your body will naturally make less. Anti-aging researchers generally believe that you should maintain your body's natural hormone production as much as possible. So I only use it one or two nights a week when I want power sleep or when traveling. Unfortunately, most melatonin supplements are too strong. I recommend 300 to 500 micrograms for men and 300 micrograms for women. But the common dosage you can buy is 3 milligrams, 3,000 micrograms. In the short term for jet lag, you can safely use 1 to 3 milligrams. Vitamin D. Some sleep disorders are tied to vitamin D deficiency, which hurts the amount of sleep you get, the quality of your sleep, and your mood upon waking up. Unfortunately, many of us have a vitamin D deficiency because of the way we live. We work inside, wear clothes, and use sunscreen. These are all realities of modern life, and they all take away from our inherent vitamin D synthesis. Contrary to what your mom may have told you, your body does not literally soak up vitamin D from the sun. Instead, the interaction between ultraviolet B light waves and a cholesterol derivative in the skin causes D to be synthesized in the body. While many of us wish we could quit our jobs and move to the Bahamas to get the rays we need, that is not realistic for most of us. Eating foods rich in vitamin D and supplementing with D3 is necessary to maintain adequate D levels, but how much you take and when you take it are important variables. According to the Vitamin D Council, 1,000 IU per 25 pounds of body weight are recommended each day, although using a blood test is the best way to determine your ideal dose. It's important not to take too much vitamin D for long periods of time, as excess amounts can cause headaches and inflammation. Short-term megadoses are quite safe. A healthy human utilizes about 3,000 to 10,000 IU of vitamin D per day. These amounts are adjusted according to your age, weight, absorption of vitamin D through the layers of the skin, skin color, and normal sun exposure. The U.S. government's tolerable upper limit, UL, for vitamin D is set at 4,000 IU per day for adults. Other experts disagree. Many state it should be 5,000 to 10,000 IU. I recommend checking your blood level every 6 months. Vitamin D is inversely related to your sleep hormone melatonin, so it makes sense that taking it at night disrupts your sleep. I've noticed this effect personally, and find that taking vitamin D in the morning is best for quality sleep at night. Quantified Self pioneer Seth Roberts documented the same results. Activated coconut charcoal. Studies have found a connection between sleep deficits and bad gut bacteria in animals. Eating the bulletproof diet is a great way to optimize your gut bacteria, but sometimes you need a little extra help. Activated coconut charcoal acts like a vacuum cleaner by adsorbing or attaching to the toxins in your digestive tract before they can reach your brain and cause inflammation. This is especially useful if you are feeling unexplained anxiety at bedtime or after consuming anti-nutrients or alcohol. Don't mix this with pharmaceuticals or other protein-containing substances, as it will mop them up too. Too much activated coconut charcoal can cause the opposite of disaster pants, constipation. Start with one or two capsules and reduce the amount if you have this complication. Glutathione. Glutathione is one of the most powerful antioxidants and detoxifiers your body makes. It's essential for removing toxins, protecting fats from oxidation, and assisting in immune system and brain function. The brain and liver have the highest concentrations of glutathione. Many people have lower than optimal glutathione levels due to stress, infections, poor diet, and other problems. If you're low on glutathione, your body can easily get overwhelmed by toxins and inflammation. While activated coconut charcoal targets toxins in your gut, an orally absorbable form of glutathione helps your liver remove toxins that are already in your bloodstream and other tissues. This means you get a more complete detox and even more profound improvements in sleep quality. In fact, a lack of sleep is shown to decrease glutathione levels in the brain. Glutathione doesn't normally work when you take it orally because your body digests it before you can use it. I've used IV glutathione for more than a decade to detox, but this means going to the doctor's office and is expensive. When I travel, I now take oral glutathione that has been encapsulated in MCT-based lipids, along with lactoferrin to allow it to flow through the lining of the gut and dramatically raise my blood level of glutathione. This is the same technique used in advanced pharmaceutical delivery systems, but here, it's used to more efficiently bring a natural substance into the body. On a recent trip to New York, I forgot to pack my glutathione and came down with laryngitis. A local anti-aging physician kindly offered to administer an IV dose of 1.2 grams, which helped the laryngitis resolve in 12 hours. I was able to give a talk about autism the next day. Without the glutathione, I would have had to whisper my speech. Active PQQ. As you read earlier in this chapter, your cell's mitochondria play a key role in your brain's glymphatic detox system. The most impactful supplement I've tried for cranking up mitochondria is a unique active form of a cousin of the antioxidant coenzyme Q10 called pyroloquinoline quinone, or PQQ for short. This is an up-and-coming supplement that has been shown in studies to make mitochondria work better and help grow new ones. Unfortunately, PQQ comes as a disodium salt, which had no discernible impact on my sleep even after taking a high oral dose of 30 milligrams per day for 2 years. However, the active form of PQQ, active PQQ, has a profound impact on my sleep efficiency with only 10 milligrams. The first time I took it, I needed an hour less sleep to feel amazing. Tech tips for better sleep. The tools that follow are not part of the standard bulletproof diet, but they are powerful upgrades that you can use to improve your quality of sleep even more. This may be over the top for some people, but if you're relentlessly pursuing a perfect night's sleep, or just a tech geek like me, you'll love experimenting with some really effective toys to help supercharge your sleep. If you are under a lot of stress, or if you travel frequently across time zones, some of these tools will give you a truly unfair advantage. Track your sleep quality. My favorite smartphone sleep app, Sleep Cycle, simply requires you to put your phone on your mattress under your bottom sheet and set the alarm. It will then track your sleep patterns and quality using the microphone on your phone. It's best to do it for at least a week so you get a sense of your baseline sleep quality. Once you've tracked your sleep, you'll have all the data you need to hack your sleep. This will ensure that what you're doing is actually working and allow you to make adjustments along the way based on how you're feeling when you wake up and what the numbers are telling you. To get the best sleep while using an app, you must put your phone in airplane mode, because the electromagnetic field generated by cell phones interferes with sleep quality. Sleeping with an active cell phone near your head will disrupt your sleep whether or not it rings. The other great thing about Sleep Cycle is that it will act as an alarm clock and wake you at the top of a sleep cycle instead of letting your alarm jerk you awake when you're in a deep sleep. This will leave you feeling more refreshed and awake all day. Low-intensity amber bulbs. The light from traditional light bulbs is known to inhibit the quality of your sleep by shutting off your natural melatonin production. However, your body responds to amber and red light the same way it does to darkness. When you wake up at night to go to the bathroom or nurse your baby, you'll be able to go back to sleep much more quickly if the only light you're exposed to is amber light. You can get amber nightlights online that will help preserve the quality of your sleep. Electrosleep device. Cerebral electrical stimulators, or CES devices, have been around since 1949, when the Russians first deployed them on space missions using uniquely Russian logic. The idea was that since it takes a lot of expensive fuel to put an astronaut into space, they could use technology to let astronauts sleep less. That way, they'd pay to send fewer astronauts into space and still get the same amount of work done. This technology is almost 70 years old, but few people have ever heard of it. I've used CES since 1998, and as I type this, my CES device is running a tiny gamma frequency electrical current between my temples. It is a small box about the size of two iPhones that is powered by a 9-volt battery. A small clip attaches to each of my earlobes, and the pulse between my ears tells my brain to get into that specific frequency. Recently, I set my CES device to run a carefully shaped, controlled microcurrent across my brain and put it into a deep state of sleep for 45 minutes, the kind of sleep that restores your brain and causes hormones to be released. This forced me to get more deep sleep than I otherwise would have in the only 2.5 hours I had to sleep that night. I woke up full of energy and feeling as if I'd slept at least an unhacked 7 or 8 hours. I didn't need any stimulants in the morning, just a single cup of bulletproof coffee to make me feel like I could climb a mountain while writing this book. CES is shown to be a safe and effective treatment for insomnia, and it's even been used to treat anxiety and drug addiction. The cost of the device ranges from $300 to $2,000. You can get them online without a prescription, or your insurance provider may cover one if your doctor prescribes it. Not that your doctor has likely ever heard of this. Earthing mat. In 2005, I was flying from the West Coast to Cambridge, England every month because I was an executive for a startup based there. Even with Virgin Airlines' awesome seats, the jet lag from flying east was painful. I'd heard about the idea that walking barefoot on grass for a few minutes makes jet lag go away. Being a rational engineer, I laughed at this idea, but I knew that raising body temperature by exercising in the morning is effective for resetting circadian rhythms. So I tried doing yoga in the park by my hotel while barefoot. What an incredible difference. I did not experience the negative effects of jet lag at all. I figured it was the yoga and tried doing yoga indoors on the next trip, the same series at the same time of day. But it did not have the same effect. The biohacker in me was intrigued. After a few trips, I confirmed for myself that grounding worked for reasons I simply didn't understand. Then a few months later, I read about a cable systems engineering entrepreneur turned biohacker who figured out that electrically grounding himself had all kinds of positive effects on circadian rhythm and inflammation. He funded some small studies that showed grounding increases resilience because it speeds recovery, lowers inflammation, and normalizes cortisol. The theory is that our bodies develop a positive charge that is slowly dispelled when we touch the earth. The earth itself has negatively charged electrons that balance the positive charge we accumulate when we're disconnected, which happens because we are almost always electrically insulated from the surface of the planet. Over time, this positive charge builds up, depletes our energy, and promotes inflammation and disease. Now, I usually travel with a small strap that plugs into the grounding outlet in my hotel room because it reliably helps to cure jet lag while I'm sleeping. My mind is clearer when I use it, too. I sleep grounded most of the time at home, too, on a conductive sheet. Sadly, it's not 1,000 thread count, but my awesome wife Lana, a medical doctor, permits it because she feels the effects on her sleep too. Sleep induction mat. Acupressure mats stimulate muscle relaxation by using the power of acupressure points. It is possible to get one formulated as a sleep induction mat, which helps you go to sleep and stay asleep while reducing your muscular aches and pains. Look for one made of non-toxic hemp or organic cotton with big, powerful acupressure points. To use the sleep induction mat, you have to train the Labrador in your head. When you first lie on the spikes, your Labrador brain will be convinced that they're deadly. You'll experience a wave of discomfort as your fight-or-flight response takes over. By taking charge with your human brain and staying on the mat, you'll cause your sympathetic nervous system to relax, and what was incredibly uncomfortable 1 minute ago now feels blissful and relaxing. Simply lying on it for a few minutes will cause a surge of endorphins, a wave of relaxation that you can easily feel, and helps to create very deep sleep that you will often see when tracking your sleep with the Sleep Cycle app. Heart rate variability meditation. Just breathing or meditating before going to bed can help you sleep better. But you can get even better results when you have technology guiding you to a state where your fight or flight response turns off. When your mind is racing, It's hard to go to sleep, and you can waste a lot of time trying to get to sleep if your Labrador brain is running around looking for tigers or searching for food. One of the best ways I've found to turn off that fight-or-flight response is to use heart rate variability training. When you are in a fight-or-flight state, the spacing between your heartbeats gets very even. This is the sign of a stressed animal. When your Labrador brain is calm, the amount of time between each heartbeat changes and becomes more variable. Of course, being out of a fight-or-flight response is correlated with better sleep. Heart rate variability works both ways. Intentionally making your heart rate more variable will calm you down, while naturally calming down will make your heart rate more variable. The Bulletproof Stress Detective app works with a heart rate strap or stick-on sensor to help you know when your stress levels are high throughout the day. And the Heart Math Inner Balance Sensor uses breathing exercises to teach you what it's like to be out of fight or flight and how to quickly turn it off. By looking at a screen during the breathing exercises, you can easily see when you're doing it right. In this way, technology gives you feedback, so you can alter your breathing and put yourself in a calm state. I used this technique to learn how to go to sleep in 3 minutes reliably. The great thing about heart rate variability training is that you can do it almost anywhere at any time, and it gives you objective data on how much you've improved. If you're having trouble sleeping, try a few minutes of heart rate variability training before bed, using either Stress Detective or Heart Math. Even 5 minutes is sometimes enough to put the most tweaked out executives to sleep. I use these simple techniques with my clients to improve performance and sleep. What to avoid? It's just as important to avoid doing the wrong things before going to bed as it is to do the right things. Here are the most important things to avoid at night in order to get the best possible quality sleep. Bright lights. For at least a half hour before going to bed, try to avoid bright lights. Dim your office lights if you absolutely must be working this close to bedtime, and kill the unhealthy fluorescent ones. You can also install free software called F-Lux on your PC or Mac to automatically dim the screen at night. I've used this software with great results for nearly a decade. Don't stare at your TV, cell phone, or tablet until you've dimmed it all the way either. Even 5 minutes of white light from a screen shuts off your melatonin production for hours and can wreck the quality of your sleep. So it's best to avoid screens in the evening entirely. Violence. Watching graphic violence on TV might make it harder for you to fall and stay asleep. Watching violence tends to get the Labrador in your brain looking for threats, and when you try to go to sleep, it's harder to get out of fight or flight mode. If you ignore this advice and watch it anyway, try using the HeartMath Inner Balance Sensor for a few minutes to reverse the effects and get out of fight or flight so you can fall asleep. Exercise. You should not exercise for at least 2 hours before going to bed, unless you count restorative yoga and breathing exercises as exercise. Sleep and exercise are intimately connected, as I'll discuss more in the next chapter. Exercise is highly energizing and raises your cortisol levels, which interferes with sleep. Don't hack your sleep after exercising. Caffeine. Drinking Bulletproof coffee puts your mind in an amazing place where you become more productive and perform better. However, you need to let your mind rest after its high-output performances. In general, don't drink coffee after 2 o'clock p.m. or at least 8 hours before bedtime, whichever comes first. This will make sure you get all of the cognitive benefits of caffeine without sacrificing your sleep. Some people need more than 8 hours of caffeine avoidance for maximum performance sleep. Keep track of your caffeine intake and sleep patterns to see how it affects you. Second wind. There is a window from 10:45 and 11 o'clock p.m. or so when you naturally get tired. This moves a little bit based on the season. If you don't go to sleep then and choose to stay awake, you'll get a cortisol-driven second wind that can keep you awake until 2 o'clock a.m. You'll also get better sleep when you go to bed before 11 o'clock p.m. and wake up feeling more rested than if you'd gotten the same amount of sleep starting later. I'll be the first to admit that I'm almost never in bed before 11 o'clock p.m., but it's good to know about this second wind so you can choose to either avoid it or take advantage of it. When working to support my adrenal glands, I slept from 10 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m. for 18 months straight. But I've always done my best research, coding, and writing after 11 o'clock p.m., so I choose to take advantage of the second wind and use it to get more done on fewer hours of highly efficient sleep. Stress. Stress can be a good thing when it is motivational or causes positive change. Life is boring without useful stress, such as reaching for a goal or making a constructive life change. But non-beneficial stress is terribly wasteful. It not only decreases immune function, shortens your lifespan, and impairs sexual performance, but also destroys your sleep. Perhaps the most common reason people report not being able to sleep is that they don't know how to clear their minds and stop worrying. Deep breathing exercises like Art of Living, Pranayama Yoga, and meditation can do wonders for helping your brain shut down, recuperate, and prepare for another day of bulletproof high performance. When you get right down to it, food is the most important variable that makes an impact on energy levels and weight loss and can keep the Labrador in your head happy. The second most important variable, which is even more important than exercise, is the quality of your sleep. You don't need to use all of the tools outlined in this chapter, but changing what you eat before you sleep and becoming conscious of the quality of your sleep can give you an edge in how well your diet works for you. I have a very strict diet, which does not include gluten, dairy, aspartame, etc. I take lots of supplements, and I have a stash, a rather large one, of incandescent bulbs. I am so glad that my friend turned me on to you. It is so wonderful to hear someone preaching this message. Julie. As a courtroom lawyer that needs to be focused and on his toes, the bulletproof diet gives me the edge I need to win. By eliminating foods that are high in toxins and eating a ton of good fat found in grass-fed butter and MCT oil, the bulletproof diet helps me function at high levels during high stress and with little sleep. It's my secret weapon during trial. William E. Johnson, West Palm Beach, Florida. I had sleeping problems for over 20 years, and now I can sleep. I'm losing weight faster than I can believe, and it feels amazing. The other people I know on the bulletproof diet can say the same and are excited that their health is finally taking shape. Michelle. I've learned to cherish a good night's sleep. Sleeplessness can suck. It can especially suck when you have a new job with a lot to learn, when your eyes burn, when you get home exhausted, when it takes hours to fall asleep, and yet you still wake up at the crack of dawn against your will and still tired. Dave changed this for me in an evening, beginning with a bulletproof dinner for me and a joint shopping trip for sleep hacking nutrients at Whole Foods. The best part? He labeled each bottle with how much to take and when. He made it easy for me. I'd resigned myself to chronic exhaustion, and it made a difference to my work and to my relationship to learn what my body needed to sleep through the night and wake in the morning feeling rested and game. Gail Karen Young, Chief Cultural and Talent Officer, Wikimedia Foundation. As a venture capitalist, I spend most of my time evaluating how technology will change people's lives. I can honestly say that in the last decade, no one has changed my life more than Dave. His bulletproof diet has given me more energy and has greatly improved my health and well-being. It has been transformational for me and many of the executives I work with in the technology industry. Dan Scholnick. Human growth hormone. During sleep, your body naturally secretes human growth hormone, HGH, which maintains your organs and tissues. As you age, the amount of HGH that your body secretes naturally decreases. This decline in HGH is correlated with many of the effects of aging. If you want to remain youthful, full of energy, and resilient, you should do everything in your power to keep your HGH levels high. Anti-aging physicians and movie stars use it as an off-label prescription treatment for aging, which the FDA does not approve at this time. But you can use many of the supplements in this chapter to naturally cause your body to secrete more. Chapter 6. Work out less and get more muscle. Like most people, I used to believe that exercising a lot was the best way to get the body I wanted. I forced myself to work out 6 days a week for 90 minutes at a time, and then told myself I was a great human being for doing that. But despite my self-assurances and the certainty that I was doing the right thing, I didn't drop the fat I wanted to lose. I did get stronger and faster, but not thinner. Imagine my horror and biohacking delight when I discovered years later that the exercise I'd been doing was wasteful because I was doing too much, doing it too frequently, and doing it for too long. If your goal is to be in a state of high performance where you feel good and have lots of free energy, spending your time on excessive, non-productive exercise just uses up your willpower and burdens your body with extra stress, but it doesn't help you live a longer or healthier life. To top it off, exercise is not even the biggest factor in determining what your body looks like. Since 80 to 90% of what your body looks like depends on what you eat, most people can get a lean, strong body with virtually no exercise at all. It only takes a few simple hacks. Don't get me wrong, doing the right exercise is extremely beneficial. It grows your brain capacity by releasing a protein that interacts with hormones called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, helps increase insulin sensitivity, reduces cardiac risk, and burns off stress. Unfortunately, most people do it wrong, for too long, and don't allow their muscles to recover. As you've already read, your body composition is not primarily determined by the amount of calories you eat. In fact, hormones and gut bacteria determine the shape of your body. It therefore makes sense to view exercise as another tool in your arsenal that lets you control your hormones, just like sleep or food. We've already learned that when you use biohacking, you can get far more benefits in less time. Why should exercise be any different? Overtraining and under-recovering is a common problem among my Type A business executive clients. The same drive that makes someone want to run a company can also make them want to complete an Ironman triathlon. But all that exercise on top of a stressful job will drive up your cortisol levels. This causes weight gain, muscle loss, a decline in testosterone, and burnout. That's not only what the research shows, but also exactly what happened to me. At the age of 30, I had the testosterone level of a 50-year-old man, the estrogen level of a middle-aged woman, and stress hormone levels nearly 10 times higher than the level that triggers burnout. When done moderately and correctly, exercise improves bone density, mood, and blood lipids, and increases insulin sensitivity and lean muscle. It can also decrease inflammation and help you sleep better, as long as it's done more than 2 hours before you go to bed. It is possible to stay lean and muscular while doing excessive exercise on a starvation diet or while doing no exercise on the bulletproof diet. But the best long-term and short-term results come from following the diet while doing just enough exercise to reach your goals. From a bulletproof perspective, that means using the most efficient techniques that get the job done with minimal effort and in the smallest amount of time. If you're not satisfied with simply being lean and muscular and want to look like a ripped god or goddess, it's going to take a little more exercise and a lot more recovery. I'll be perfectly honest. I want to live a very long time with a brain that never quits and a body that relentlessly fights aging. And I want to look good while doing it, but not necessarily as good as a chiseled movie star. That's because my other goal is to spend my days doing things I love with people I care about. For example, I consciously chose to put my energy into writing this book so more people can benefit from the bulletproof diet instead of spending my time recovering from a more intense exercise regimen. You can use these techniques to build whatever type of body you like. And by the way, the biohacking advice in this book actually does work for chiseled movie stars, Hollywood celebrities, world champion athletes, MMA fighters, and CrossFit and Ironman athletes. First, let's define what I mean by exercise. To quote Doug McGuff, MD, a friend, physician, exercise physiologist, gifted biohacker, and author of Body by Science, exercise is a specific activity that stimulates a positive physiological adaptation that serves to enhance fitness and health. It does not undermine the latter in the process of enhancing the former. This means that in order for you to use exercise as a tool to sculpt your body and build a more resilient life, it must be brief, intense, infrequent, safe, and purposeful. Anything that does not meet these criteria is not exercise. Marathons, Ironmans, ultra-endurance events, long jogging routes, and any form of excessive heavy lifting are not quite exercise based on these criteria, for the simple fact that they do not optimize health while creating fitness. They are immensely challenging and require admirable physical and mental strength, but they are not exercise the way we're defining it, unless they increase your health and fitness. No matter how fit and ripped you are, or how good your backside looks in yoga pants, you won't achieve bulletproof resilience and power unless you're healthy. As we've seen from the heart scarring and temporary damage that come from running marathons, being fit or being able to compete in a specific sport does not mean that you are healthy. A small 2010 study designed to figure out why people occasionally drop dead of heart attacks during marathons reveals evidence that extreme chronic cardio actually strains the heart and causes damage to the heart muscle. But exercise should reduce your cardiovascular risk if it's improving your health. The good news is that by understanding that your chosen sport may be potentially harmful to your body, especially if you are overtrained or undertrained, you can often use biohacking techniques to minimize the harm and maximize your recovery. At the opposite end of the spectrum, choosing the stairs over the elevator or taking a lunchtime walk or leisurely bike ride isn't really exercise either, because it isn't intense and doesn't cause a direct physiological adaptation. This is merely moving around. You won't get the hormonal effects of real exercise from these activities, but you'll still benefit from them. Moving decreases your risk of metabolic syndrome, breast cancer, cardiovascular disease, and vascular dementia. It also decreases overall systemic inflammation, which saps your performance and contributes to almost all known diseases. Moderate physical activity also likely decreases the number of upper respiratory tract infections you get and improves mood in people who are depressed. In healthy people, easy movement can improve mood for up to 2 hours afterward. It also improves mitochondrial function, which, as you've read, helps your brain perform better. So go for a walk, but don't fool yourself into thinking you exercised when all you did was walk. Weight training is the most bulletproof form of exercise because it meets all of the requirements for proper exercise, increases your lean muscle mass, boosts your insulin sensitivity and metabolic rate for days, and increases your testosterone and growth hormone levels, including healthy amounts for women. Not only is having more muscle good for your health because it makes you more resilient to fatigue, diseases, pathogens, and toxins, but it will also allow you to perform with more confidence and pride on a daily basis. Within limits, muscle mass generates health in both men and women. Some people shy away from weight training, but everyone from stay-at-home moms to elite athletes and entrepreneurs can benefit from being stronger. Women should not worry that weightlifting will cause them to bulk up. Weight training is the recommended form of exercise for anyone who wants to cut fat and gain muscle. Don't be fooled into believing that traditional cardio is necessary for improving cardiovascular function. In many cases, long workouts of cardio practiced for the wrong reasons, to burn calories, are detrimental to your health because they stress the heart and body, but don't cause the beneficial change exercise should. It is impossible to isolate one aspect of fitness, such as your cardiovascular system, muscular system, aerobic system, etc. Nor would you want to. But many people believe they must isolate their cardiovascular system by doing cardio workouts. Typical cardio workouts, like running or cycling, do count as exercise in that they increase health, but most aren't efficient enough. Fortunately, there is a way to use biohacking to get a strong heart and lungs, the main benefits of cardio workouts, in minimal amounts of time. It is called high-intensity interval training. To do this, you only need a place where you can run a few hundred meters. Simply run as fast as you can, like a tiger is chasing your inner Labrador. Run for 30 seconds, rest for 90 seconds, and then do it again. Repeat this until 15 minutes have passed. If you're like most people who don't do this often, you won't last 15 minutes on your first shot. That's okay. Work up to it. The benefits? You'll produce more human growth hormone, HGH, the performance-enhancing anti-aging hormone your body makes to keep you young. One study found that doing an intense workout like this for at least 10 minutes caused the greatest secretion of HGH. Another study found that the more intense the exercise, the more intense the HGH release. So go ahead. Run like something's chasing you. Your heart and lungs will benefit and could help you live longer. Best of all, you can do this once a week for 15 minutes and get more cardio benefits than you would from a daily one-hour jog. You really can trade intensity for time with exercise, whether it's sprinting or lifting. Do this once a week and at least 3 days before or after lifting weights. When it comes to lifting weights, it's best to work out 1 to 3 times per week, in addition to the interval training. You should only train 3 times a week if you have extra time for sleep and recovery and are not jet-lagged. If you find your training stalling on this program, decrease the frequency instead of forcing yourself to try harder. Remember, there is a point of diminishing returns with exercise. More exercise will not always lead to more benefits, and overtraining is harmful. Each workout should not last longer than 20 minutes. Often, 10 to 15 minutes is enough. But your workout should be extremely high intensity, with each movement done to the point of muscle failure. This is when the weight won't move anymore, no matter how hard you tell your Labrador brain to move it. Unless you're working with a trainer or experienced with free weights, it's best to start with using machines, as pushing yourself to muscle fatigue with free weights increases your risk of injury. The weight should be heavy enough that you will reach muscle failure in 1.5 to 2 minutes. A good rule is to use about 80% of the heaviest amount of weight you're capable of lifting one time. The next movement should be performed as soon as possible after the completion of the previous one. The time between movements should not exceed 2 minutes, and less is better. The 5 compound movements that are most beneficial are seated row, chest press, pull down, overhead press, leg press. There's some debate among fitness experts about how much you should warm up. Some stretching is fine, but you don't have to go for a jog or do jumping jacks to warm up. You can do these movements in whatever order you prefer. Perform each one for 1.5 to 2 minutes, until you couldn't do another one to save your life. If you've never tried these exercises before, that's okay. Go to a local gym and hire a trainer for one session to show you how to do them properly. They are simple exercises. Another option is to find a local CrossFit gym, called a box, where a trainer will teach you the equivalents of these movements using free weights. Just explain that you are new to this and want a very short workout, and you'll do fine. Expect to be very sore after these workouts, and start with just once a week so you have time to recover and build muscle before starting over. Keep in mind that proper recovery is extremely important. Whether you perform the weightlifting exercise or the high-intensity interval training sprints, make sure you wait at the very least for 2 days and up to 10 days before your next workout. Between 4 and 7 days is the sweet spot. Eating some extra bulletproof carbs on the evening of your workout day will help you recover faster. Bodybuilders have been eating carbs after workouts for decades. Carbs do increase insulin, but insulin's job is to carry protein and fat into your muscles. When you stimulate your muscles through exercise, you do want to have some insulin to feed them, but not too much. This is another example of how you can carefully time your carbs to get the best results. Remember, your diet is more important than exercise in determining the shape of your body and how you feel. These exercises are simply a way for you to become stronger and more powerful. For non-athletes, I recommend weightlifting once during week 1, sprinting once during week 2, and then repeating. That comes to only 4 workouts a month. The night after you exercise, you need to sleep much more than someone who is sedentary because muscle tissue is repaired during deep sleep. A 20-minute workout can increase your sleep needs by more than 3 hours a night. If you're exercising more than 2 times per week, let your body sleep as much as it needs. Never work out more than once a week if you're restricting your sleep, and don't do heavy workouts when you're jet-lagged. Your job is to be a recovery machine, not an exercise machine. Remember, the recovery is when your body builds muscle. As an endurance athlete living above the Arctic Circle, I am always at battle with extreme conditions. Long-distance dog racing requires mushers to be fully alert for days on end with little to no sleep. They must not only care for themselves, but also up to 16 canine companions. The low temperatures and low sunlight demand much energy from the racers. In other words, we must be bulletproof. I am also an Ironman triathlete trying to qualify for the World Championships. There is not much sitting still, but when I do sit, I am at the computer consulting as an energy engineer, and my brain must work despite the fatigue. The Bulletproof products have seen me through a trying winter. Every morning I wake up with my Bulletproof coffee with grass-fed butter and brain octane oil. My favorite lunch consists of a coconut milk smoothie with upgraded whey protein and cacao butter. As I have transferred to a ketogenic diet following the Bulletproof diet principles, I have relied heavily on MCT and brain octane for fueling. During workouts, I mix a tablespoon of MCT oil with Yucan superstarch and finally eliminated my previously challenging gut issues. Catherine Keith. I am a high-performing Ironman triathlete. I have used the Bulletproof nutritional protocols as well as Dave's supplements to produce superior results. I recently finished in the top 5% of all finishers at Ironman Texas with Dave's help. As part of my training, his recommendations allowed me to shift from a carb burner to a fat burner. Adam Brennan, wealth strategist. My boyfriend and I competed this past weekend at a bodybuilding competition and used your upgraded MCT, brain octane, and bulletproof coffee practically every day during our 14-week prep. We felt amazing and were able to maintain and even build muscle while cutting our body fat. We even kept the brain octane backstage for fuel during the show. We feel amazing, and I took home second place at the most competitive amateur bodybuilding competition in history against over 748 athletes. Alexis. Does it matter when I exercise? It took some experimenting to find out what time of day exercising gave me the best results and what to eat before and after working out. When I worked out for 1.5 hours a day, 6 days a week, I often did so at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, because that's when I had time. This didn't give me the results I was looking for. I also tried working out in the morning, which some people like because it fits into their workday. The problem with this is that your cortisol naturally spikes in the morning, so exercising, which also raises cortisol at this time, may cause a higher spike in cortisol than is recommended by health professionals. I finally found my answer when I learned about mTOR, mammalian target of rapamycin, and the 3 things that cause it to be suppressed and then bounce back to build muscle: coffee, fasting, and exercise. I realized the way to get the best results was to stack my mTOR suppression by using every possible way to tamp it down so I'd get the biggest surge and most muscle gain afterward. This is why I get the best results from exercising right near the end of my Bulletproof intermittent fast. I eat dinner, go to sleep, and enjoy bulletproof coffee for breakfast. Several hours later, at around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock p.m., I exercise, and then I eat a high-vegetable, high-protein, and high-fat meal. That night, I have extra carbs with dinner. A 2010 Belgian study demonstrated for the first time that exercising on an empty stomach, in a fasted state, while on a high-fat diet with plenty of calories, like the Bulletproof diet, provides the most muscle growth, improves whole-body glucose tolerance, and improves insulin sensitivity. I also recommend supplementing with a high-quality protein source, like grass-fed hydrolyzed collagen protein or cold-processed whey concentrate protein, within 15 minutes of finishing a workout, to prevent a muscle-robbing cortisol spike that can last for up to 48 hours. The collagen is especially good for you because it makes your skin and ligaments more flexible too. Chapter 7. Weak Multivitamins and the Bulletproof Guide to Supplements. As the standard American diet has shifted away from foods that are high in nutrients, like healthy animal protein and vegetables, and we've come to rely more on nutritionally void grains, processed foods, and low-fat dairy from poorly fed animals, micronutrient deficiency has become a widespread epidemic. People today are consuming fewer nutrients than ever. To paraphrase journalist, author, and food activist Michael Pollan, the world is becoming overfed and undernourished. 48% of the U.S. population is deficient in magnesium, 40% are deficient in vitamin B12, and 10% are deficient in folate. This is no small matter, as micronutrient deficiencies chip away at your performance long before they cause disease. They cause DNA damage, making you age faster and die sooner. In fact, almost every common disease has been linked to micronutrient deficiencies. When you are deficient in nutrients, your cells don't perform very well. Plus, your Labrador brain thinks it's starving and begs you to eat all sorts of weird things. As a result, micronutrient deficiencies cause fatigue and poor sleep and degrade your mental performance. No matter how much food you consume, it's impossible to live up to your full potential as a human being without the right nutrients. If your human hardware is not working at the cellular level, you have little chance of making your software do its best. Your Labrador brain won't rest when you are lacking key nutrients, but the cause is hard to determine when it's a hidden vitamin deficiency. It's no wonder why so many people want to fix this situation with a single pill, but these only one pill per day mash-up multivitamins are usually some of the worst forms of supplements on the market. Nearly every anti-aging physician I've worked with or interviewed uses vitamins and supplements as primary tools to get results with patients, but none of them recommends the commonly available multivitamins. Most are ineffective, and some are poor formulations that actually cause more harm than good by providing an imbalance of nutrients. They have too much of some, such as vitamin A or B6, and not enough of others, like magnesium. The result is that you overdose and underdose at the same time. It's also common practice among most multivitamin manufacturers to include very small amounts of more expensive nutrients. This way, they can still be listed on the label. Average consumers often don't notice or can't tell that their pill contains only trace amounts of some nutrients. Their main concern is that they only have to take one pill. But there is no way to fit the correct dosage of a complete spectrum of nutrients into one single pill. The recommended dietary allowance, RDA, of magnesium alone, for instance, is larger than will fit in the capsule size of most common multivitamins. Another issue with multivitamins is that the nutrients they contain are often low quality. Nutrients come in different forms that behave quite differently inside your body. Folate is an essential B vitamin, but consuming high doses of folic acid, the synthetic form of folate that is found in most multivitamins and fortified foods, actually increases your risk of cancer, and some of the population has a common genetic mutation that makes it hard for their bodies to use that form of folic acid. It is common to use yeast-based ingredients as well, which are cheaper but tend to worsen yeast infection problems in people who take them. This may be why many studies show no benefit to taking multivitamins, and much of the research actually reveals an increased risk of mortality associated with them. Many multivitamins are